Yes.
Okay. Omer neshama, daylono b'ze apteliyas hakbala, nochin hanhoga atzma degasel. So until now we're speaking about the similarities between the person, Hakadosh Baruch Hu's hanhoga, and the kesher between the guf and neshama being ois pei zayin. So now let's go back to the different. To the different levels of Anhaga. Amar Seichel, Hine is a Yotzer Rishayne Betoldos Chiburei Shtei Midas Eloke Echad. So Hamatziv Asholem Shor Liyo Yisrael Adem Zan Hashem Zach Shiyaloi. Shvadove Mevu Amatzmoi Shem Adrega Tachlisis Asher Tia Seif Kolil Adem Hi Hanikvas Rishayne. Kimiozis Atsan Sham recurred so Shia Bihuka Shemus is the Godl, Shetuhal Gil of the Sefer Kor. Elisha Yomulo Milamalo Lichimatis Atsmech, Ada Shetosho Kemerishim is also Pimasel. So now he says the following point. The Neshama was created in a way, the Neshama was created in a way where it starts by being in its most perfect state. In other words, the world is not a metzias of we start with pieces and then go make something of it. There are two ways to tell a person to put together a piece of furniture. I can tell them the trees outside the park, when they're not looking, chop them down, cut them up, make furniture out of it. There's a second way where I assembled a bed, I made a bed, now I disassemble it and I give it to you to put it together again. It's understandably much more, with a lot more confidence that you do the first one than you do the second one. When you have the thing already and so on. So we have the metzias of a perfect neshama brought into this world with and given the chesronos that come with being part of this world, in order that it reassembles itself to the perfection. But had it not had the original perfection as a paradigm, or as what its own metzias is, it never could get there. So you try to give a shleimus, and it's the same idea that the Malach learns kol ha-Torah kula with you when you're in your mother's womb, and then you forget it. The point is, yes, if you don't do anything about it, then you're not going anywhere. But if you do learn, then the pshat is you're not learning something new and creating something new. You're bringing out something yourself that was there all along. Very much so. Same idea. The only thing that means. Now, from the churban that's here, we reconstruct worlds. That's olam tshuva, many things like that. But the point is, we start with the davar shalem, and you must start with the davar shalem, because or else it'll never be coming back to who you are. It'll be a tosefes.
Right.
It's like lemashal. Imagine that somebody teaches me piano. And I'm not really musical, but I'm given an ultimatum. No piano, no suppers. So I can learn to do it, and as long as somebody's threatening me or coaxing me or whatever it is, I will do it. But as soon as it's over, it's gone. I'm not going to keep doing it. But let's say I had an inside talent or an affinity, and then somebody brings it out through the coaching, then I'll come back to it. So the idea is that the person comes back to an original metzias, and then it becomes his real metzias. So you have the best of both worlds. You have a perfection to come back to, but when you come back to it, it's all your own. You're the one who did it, who earned it, who built it, and you have all the milas of something that you developed
all
yourself.
All Moshe Torah in the womb, and that all.
Yeah, all of that. All that has that same mahalo.
But Bono Olamas Mapriba has the sense of chaos. That is, I could have created a perfect world, IKEA style, disassembled it, and then just given us the parts.
Right. So over there it means. There are many ways. The eagle learns. Sometimes you have to be soysal naslibnois. The mashal. the fact that Seitzas Lev is called the brain, that if a person has done things wrong, that he needs to erase what was there and start anew, is part of that nahala, that even the erasing is called constructive. If I have a mahalach that's wrong, I need to sometimes destroy it all. In other words, say this is totally wrong, start beginning again.
So the way we would understand it is like if we create a perfect world.
Yeah.
It messed up in some way. And then that cycle continued many times.
Right.
Until we got to this present world. In which we also, in Dormammel,
Correct. The Keter writes that also, you know, it seems as if Kadosh Baruch Hu messed up. And the answer is no. In the aside of that Seis Amnas Livnois has a din of vinyan, that Stiris Cain and Binyan, sometimes getting rid of something that is bad is actually that which will allow the good to be built. So the demolition becomes part of the Binyan.
So I'm probably excluding almost all from the school of Adam. Was that also an aspect of Stira, the Hainu? The world originally, it seems, all of Adam had the capacity.
The way he remodeled it was, it would work with one nation being the spearhead, and they would bring everybody else to
well, how would we characterize that exclusion of everybody else from the school?
Everyone else couldn't be the one. Lamashal, let's give an example. Imagine you want to increase Talmud Torah in the world. So one direction was you take everybody and give them a little more Chumash lessons, or you take a cadre of people, especially good, and they become chassid and poitzim, and that b'meila creates a draw of other people to be like it. Sometimes by dealing with everyone, you drag down more, and it just doesn't work.
This whole notion that binyan, that stira, it could be idea, you know, for
binyan. Binyan could be idea stira, yeah.
So, but that only begs the question: like, why did he make the original thing that needed to be destroyed? Or it was the plan of Lechatchila was, let's build something that's not going to work, so we can destroy it, so then we would build something good.
Let me go down even deeper. The whole mitzvah of this world is Kavayach HaKadosh Baruch Hu drawing back and Kavayach creating a churban. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not have created a bubble that looks like it's been devoided of God, then we don't have a mitzvah. So whatever it is that we are that type of mitzvah.
That's just a din in anything that's limited. Anything that's not a finished world. In a world where the creators ain't so, so anything that's not ain't so necessarily is subject to all sorts of
stuff. Correct. And that has to do more that was the Shoresh of Bias Adam. Shoresh Adam was where Ki'ilu HaKadosh Baruch Hu diminished an area of light so that we could exist.
And was willing to accept an entire process of stealing.
Yes,
back to the old,
yes. So at some point we can't keep asking why, but at least we can just show that this is part and parcel of that simplicity of the world.
But with a human being that we're like the direct tachlis, we say that this tzimtzum was created, this halal was created, so that we could then function.
So that means that our ability to function is. Whatever it is, it's good, because Kadosh Baruch Hu wants it. And that was done specifically by, it started with a diminishing of something rather than an increasing something.
You're just saying, just, this is just an amplification of those diminishments. There's just lots more diminishments.
Correct.
That were less direct. They were more indirect in terms of leading to the ultimate tachlis.
Yes.
These are things many stages removed from humanity or from Jews. Or
what do you mean?
This is built and then destroyed, built and then destroyed. Until it gets
right, but it means that this is the core mechanism of this world. The core mechanism of this world is a need for process to be able to. I guess it's matzah time. You can. I mean, as a young boy, where I used to go bake matzahs, I'd always wonder if you ever see the way they knead the dough. You know, they mix the flour and the water together, make a little patty out of it. They sort of break it into two, or into a few pieces, then they put it together again, then they break it up into a few more pieces and recombine it and break it and recombine it. And I always wondered why. Why just make a patty and that's it? So the answer there, Chabshat, is because what you're trying to do is make sure there are no clumps there. No, in other words, by breaking it up, you it's very difficult to knead a whole thing. So what you do is you break the pieces, you re-knead it, recombine it, redo it again and again and again. No, that's the way you do it. But it tachlis mitzad the al derech pnimius, the pshat is you need to break it and to re-put it again, to break it and re-put it again. It's like sometimes like psychology, you know, you a person who's got a lot of difficult issues in his personality, in his background, so most people manage to sort of patch along and have what's the right word for it, a crutch and a patch, and they move along. If you really want to work with it, you need to break the person down. He needs to take off all the patches and all of the crutches and go back to a certain sheirish and then start anew.
Or it's typically within that somebody who's psychologically unhealthy has built up defense mechanisms.
Coping mechanisms. So instead of facing it, instead of facing directly, we do it round and about. It's just like a person who's missing a tooth. So he learns to chew on the other side, he learns to do this, learns to that. So you can sort of tug along with that, but if you want to redo it, you have to drill, put in, you have to, it's aggressive. So a lot of times when a person builds up a personality with its flaws and its problems, unless the person breaks it down, he'll just constantly keep polishing up what's flawed.
Very interesting. It comes out that the way that Hashem relates to the world is bonem, achrim, is like the same idea as klal, prat, to klal, which is like the way that we're supposed to approach learning Torah.
Okay. I mean, I don't know if it's klal, prat, to klal, but whatever it is, I would like to point out that Meichik v'Koisev, those are all part of that, it's the same idea. And this is a real understanding. Once we understand that, then the Ra that Kadosh Baruch Hu brings in the Bria is seen as part of the Tov. Since the Binyan has to be through Chorban, the Ra is something which is part of the Binyan process.
It becomes like sort of the weight in the gym that the person uses to build their muscles.
So, build it, right.
The weight can be seen as something that's just laborious.
Correct. Correct, or it's a building thing, right? Exactly. I see it as a drag, but that's building you. That's an isayin, many ways to go with it. Correct. So he says, "V'yeh achloi shabiyosim meretz b'chatkelasa v'yelui murubacher kein chosha shemes." It's not the pshat that the etzim were small and then it increases because there's no chodesh lasa shemes. Ava seido hefech miseh. This is a very, very famous phrase used a lot in Kabbalah's form. We say it in Chodoidi. Seif Maizach Shavet Chilov means that when a person builds a building, the picture of the building was the first thing he had in his head. And then he starts from scratch, from the ground, and the final form of the building should match up to what he had in his mind before. So Seif Maisa, that which is at the end of the Maisa process, Machshava Tchila was what he had in mind to start with. So in the first matzev, the word guf exists but is not part of the person. Like other version, is that Pashik Shit is a guf ain't al Hashef of Oifin Shama. He hare ain inyan a gufnis ala hesta ora. Umashimene ma'akif. Ki eaf shall a shlita a filoktana la guf, shall yech sa knek des orbe gachmane shama. Al kain, as manchet yan shama b'cholk v'rasa, Shetechsa kolba mimashu ela shemusa, who has man vade she'en leguf shum shlita. Al kein ein lenishmas adam shum enea. Ach loy teme shele mitzias. Gar manu shak mutzach shi ela shneem. Ava shlita leia, ava leia kula kohach ane shama buk inspired me na, that's a double of vade. Leia bret seine mash leia bret seine, ache kemat leia nifchan le dofne atzma lakme muvel rekas ane shama tere. So, the guf, started out, the guf and neshama together started out as something that was almost pure neshama. In other words, the guf showed no distinction of its own, nothing distinct of its own. The neshama, then the guf came to this world and became obstructive to the neshama, it became a very physical mitzias. And Lasid Lava, it'll go back to its original matzah. So it says there will be a guf, but the guf will be totally kafed in Hashem. If I give an example, I guess it's more of what's the right word for it? It's just a visual example. Look at the difference between a world class dancer to a clumsy, clunky person. A world class dancer. The person who's clunky, when you see him dance, you see he's struggling with his goof. It's as if he wants to go one place, the goof, it's as if he's dragging something along. A world-class dancer looks like, you know, his neshama and his goof is like one. It's almost like, you know, the goof has no mind of its own. It bends and soars and goes whichever what way, as the person is gliding. That's something that is a dogma of what a neshama looks like, of a goof looks like when it's totally in sync with the neshama. So, you know, when I need to give somebody something, you know, I need to be giving. So the different shades of the goof resisting and winning, the goof resisting and making it difficult, the goof not resisting but it weighs down, or the goof being almost like a glove on the hand, like a thin surgical glove where there's no sense of it. It's where my hands are. It has a glove around it. So that's the ultimate shleimus of a guf neshama, where the guf shows no resistance to the neshama whatsoever. That's that darga. So that is step one. Step one is the beginning and the end. The beginning meaning the shoresh, the ideal model that was held was a goof that was totally ruchni, meaning it had no sense of self, and that's what's going to be lost in love. Now he says matzav pachas mizeh, a little bit lower than that is biyois haguf nifchan b'shlitos ikzas, that the goof has some element of self. Which automatically means that the neshama is not so shalei. So there are many gradations that go hand in hand in terms of the shlita of the guf versus the neshama. And it's sort of a tug of war. Who is the person? And as you get more, as the guf gets more sense of self, so too does the neshama get less of a sense of that itself's in the driver's seat. It's like a car that I have to wrestle with. Pre-power steering, pre-power brakes, pre-this, and if it's a tough car and it's rusty, so it's as if the car has a mind of its own, and I need to be able to. I was actually in Eretz Yisrael. I was in there. There's a rehab place called Ritorno in Bet Shemesh, near Bet Shemesh, and the one of the things that they do, and he told me it's something that is. Come on, they do a lot of horseback riding.
Equine therapy, yeah.
Yeah, and the reason why it's supposedly a very good therapy is the concept of ruling over something else is, in other words, control over something else is a very much part of the learning process. What happens, you know, it's basically their nekuda is that they call the title for the people they deal with are out of control. In other words, people have lost control. So it's any type of addiction, any type of a loss of control over your life. So a physical way of sort of teaching yourself to ride the horse is riding the horse. And you learn that, you know, you're part of something which might be bucking you, but you can get the control of it. Yes, it was that. And he says it works well. Now, it may work for other reasons. I don't know. But I'm saying it is an exception.
Interesting, because the foundation of 12-step programs is that you don't have control. That's it. You're powerless.
Well, but it's how... So horse also... It's not you. In other words, there's a part that's the horse's mind, and you have to learn how to work with it and not lose control. You recognize it's not your feet, but on the other hand, you can't let the horse do the driving. So it takes some sort of adjustment to it.
I mean, it seems in the 12-step program, they sort of like invite HaKadosh Baruch Hu's spirit, spirituality, not religion, whatever. The point is they invite some other force to be a writer with
them. Very much so, yes.
Fair, that you only HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Well, in the prayer that they have, they express it really well, though, that give us the strength.
Serenity prayer.
Give us the strength.
Wisdom to...
No, give us the strength to change.
Change the can.
Ready to accept the things that
you
can.
Right. And in other words, the person needs to understand. It's just like, you know, it says, L'divra Torah can get started. If a person wants to work on himself, he needs to recognize what he can change, what he can't change. And, you know, that's the most important thing. You can't do things you cannot do, and you have to do things that you can do. So to be able to do that, that's a lot of chachma.
One of the things I can do is move.
Okay.
You're
see, the car is getting the better of you.
The wife. Don't get it on tape.
Okay. Cars you can change. Matze pas what? Maso zehu bi yois haguf nechu shal seksaf. Kalken yagek nezer shal nshamol, dut eis a shlem kol fata. Ach ha shlita kol shul etel chisorn kol shul. Al vim tar bashe, kaz yab a chisorn. It's a zelum asa, this is the chazal of a malaya chareva. The kishizu chareva zu malaya. That there's always a tug of war between the two. And one is at the price of the other. The more the goof is in control, the less the sham is, and vice versa.
So it's interesting. You know, we talk very much about the Chai Yisrael combining Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba and not being a static energy. It's the word that it all has to do with who's driving, but so long as the neshama is driving, the goof is neutralized effectively. In other words, that the only question that, you know, the Simala Haraba is who's got the wheel. But the fact that they're both in the car is okay, whereas...
Correct. More than that. The fact that the car, I'm driving a car, and the car has its own mechanism, that's par for the course. You know, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world, there is HaKadosh Baruch Hu and there is the other. So that's the most essential facet of Bria, HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the world. Then we have Adam, the Shem and the Guf, and Klaus on the Umos. You constantly have that. And that's if in the world as we know it, that's perfection. But the
perfection is control.
Right, total control. Total control, where one blurs nafkamina between it's like, you know, take a look at, even in a person's, or even more than that, when we take a look at our own body, we have reflexes and we have voluntary actions. A voluntary action requires, what's the right word for the dialogue between the person and his hand. I should go here, I shouldn't go. Should I go for the Shalom Zach? Should I go? The reflex, the goof acts instantly. it's almost as without it, my eye blinks. I there is no. It's only because I'm living. It's only because my mind knows it's a danger. But at the end of the day, the action and the recognition thereof is one and the same. There's no gap between recognizing the danger and closing my eye. So he says, "Ach." So it's a lot of gradation, but if we want to look at it in a big picture, when the neshama is totally sholit, so we can describe total neshama, total guf, and somewhere in between. There are five madrigas that we can list over here. These madrigas are not dissimilar to the Balatanya's five madrigas. Balatanya has five madrigas. Tzadik, Rasha Viralo, Rasha Vitovlo, Tzadik Viralo, Tzadik Vitovlo, and Beinoni. So he has five madrigas also listed in terms of the relationship between the good and the bad in the person. It's not much different than these five madrigas we'll see, but Akapanim, the madrigas are built on the interaction of Guf and Neshama, who's driving, who's in the driver's seat, and so on. Okay, I will hold it here.
Funny word this morning about it, because you might have seen in Israel they just signed this mega deal for autonomous cars.